It is such a joy and a pleasure to be sitting down at my table with my tea to my left and my apple juice to my right. And more details that you maybe don't need, but I'm going to give them to you anyway. I am so thrilled to be back with you, and I love, love, love everything that you've been sharing in terms of what came up for you from the last episode, why you might be having an identity crisis. If you haven't listened to that yet, I mean, you can listen to it after this one, or you can just pause and go back to that one because it was really fucking good. I sent a message to my best friend right after. Hello, Roxanne, if you're listening. I sent her a message and I said, you know what? The episode that I just recorded, I feel like I was channeling. I had notes. Of course, I knew the points that I wanted to make sure I put forward, but I felt like I was channeling. And for me, when I feel like that, it means that I'm truly grounded in what I'm saying. I'm truly grounded in my message, in my values, in who I am in that moment in time. And it's just fucking coming. And that's how I felt. Even when I listened back to it and I was taking my own notes, So to know that it landed exactly where it needed to with you, and maybe it didn't, maybe that episode just wasn't for you, but for the people that it did resonate with, I know exactly why. So thank you so much for sharing your takeaways with me. And I want you to know that you can always share your listening experience with me, either through a voice note on Instagram, or you can send me an email. I always like to know. So the email is hello@africabrooke.com. And you can just put beyond the self in the subject and just share what you want to share. If you have any questions or have anything you would like me to touch on in future episodes, I will always consider it. And last on that is that even though I can't reply a lot of the time, I do see it. So I never want you to feel like it's just going into a bin somewhere or in a void. No one sees it. I do see it. And when I can respond, I do try my best to. All right. But yeah, that episode was really fucking good. Even the one before that, everything about you has changed. And to be honest, I'm just going to toot my own horn. The entire podcast is pretty good. It's pretty good. So if you're listening for the first time, thank you so much. If you're a long time listener, I love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So let me pour some of my tea. Today I'm drinking black tea. Oh, that sound. That sound. Oh my goodness. It probably means nothing or very little to you, but it's very important in this house. Anyway, so we're going to be talking about why faking it till you make it doesn't work and what to do instead. This is actually inspired by an Instagram live conversation that I did in June 2020, so over a year ago now, which is titled the exact same thing. If you head on to my Instagram, you will find the video in my IGTV archive. It's really good, and I love it because it captured exactly where I was at the time, where most people were at the time. And just the fact that it was all in the height of the pandemic, and I see myself just in a different way, even where I was. It's a very, very good conversation if you would like to see it with my face on there as well. But I pulled from that and I wanted to bring it here so that it can reach as many people as possible, because this is something that I speak about with a lot of my clients, because as you know, you've heard me mention many times, identity work is a big part of the work I do with people as a coach and as a consultant. So whether I'm working with an individual or whether I'm working with a team, a small team or a big team, identity is a huge part of that. And fake it till you make it is a quote that is really, really pushed onto people, especially in the Western world. And I've never really understood it. I know that it's actually never felt quite right. It's never sat right with me. I've never ever used it in attachment to myself, but it's something that I've just heard. Yeah, just fake it till you make it. And when I actually started thinking about the concept of faking it intentionally, and depending on how long you've been a part of my world, whether it's my virtual world or my physical world, faking it is something that I became familiar with in my romantic relationships and in my sexual relationships. Because up until 2000 and 18 or 19, I had never, ever experienced a partner orgasm, okay? I used to have a sexual wellness company, so I used to have a lot of conversations about sex and sexuality from 2017 onwards. It was called Cherry Revolution. And sex is a big part of my world in a lot of ways, and not just actively engaging in sex, but just sexuality in general, sexual energy in general. And looking at my own experience as a woman, as a feminine being, I look at sex in a really, really layered way, right? But the concept of faking it is something that I really had to start understanding when I realized I had been faking my partner orgasms from the age of 14, from the very first time that I had sex, I faked an orgasm, which meant, well, it didn't mean I had to do this, but because porn was an influence in my life as well, another conversation we can have another time, I just continued faking it until it just became the norm. But it wasn't the norm because I wasn't actually experiencing the pleasure that I needed to experience. I wasn't becoming who I needed to become as a sexual being because I was faking it the entire time. It was a performance. I wasn't even curious about, okay, what could it actually look like if I'm experiencing the level of pleasure that I really want to experience in this partnership, in this connection with this person? I was just doing it on repetition. Default until it just became a part of who I was when I was having partnered sex with a man. So faking it in that context is where I really understood it. But I found it very interesting that that concept of faking it seems to be everywhere. And no one talks about what you can actually do instead of grabbing onto that as the default. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Let me just have a sip of my tea. Gosh, this tea is so beautiful. So, I wanted to give somewhat of a disclaimer as well. As with anything that I do, the people that I invite in are self-aware adults. Please only take what you need and leave the rest. Not everything I say will apply to you, and that is okay. The world will still spin. Even if you don't resonate, even if you don't like what I say, even if you disagree, the world will still spin and we will be okay, all right? I don't know your subjective experience. I cannot speak for you. What I can try and do is to speak in a very broad and general way, but to make sure that I'm allowing for nuance and context to be a part of what I say. And that's my commitment. Your commitment is to filter all of this through your own self-awareness, take what you need and leave the rest, okay? And if faking it has been working for you, just the concept of faking it in general, which I'm going to define very clearly in just a moment, then that's wonderful. And I would also encourage you to stay and maybe hear a new perspective. Maybe something I say will be useful, but maybe it fucking won't be. And that's okay too, as I have said. And if you have faked it before, whether it's in sex, whether it's in your platonic relationships, in your career, in your familial relationships, whatever that area might be, I really want you to know that this doesn't make you a liar. It doesn't make you deceptive or any of those things. It's something we have all done in one way or another. But I believe that there's a better way to look at it. A way that doesn't actually just freak out your nervous system or make you feel like a fraud in the long term, right? There are alternatives. What I really push back against, and this is where my work stands, I push back against the idea that we don't have options, that we don't have alternatives, that we can't question mantras that everyone uses, that if the majority says this is right, this is normal, then we should just fucking take it. No, I don't believe that. I think curiosity is so important. I think being compassionate with yourself is really important. Accepting the mess and the ugliness within you, the shadow, is really fucking important as much as it is to accept the good within you, right? We need to accept that the duality does exist. And this is where my work and my words sit. And if you're thinking, well, Africa is just fucking semantics, all right? It's just language. When people are saying faking it, that's not what they really mean. Okay, that's fine. So why don't we actually start saying what we really mean? Is that an option? I think it is. I think it is. And, you know, language is more powerful than we realize. And I will say this until the cows come home. You know what? That's another saying that I find quite hilarious because I always think, who said this first and how did it just become a thing that we say? Right? But I do know that language is very powerful and it has everything to do with your sense of self, with your identity, which is what we're exploring in this series and beyond. But language has a lot to do with it, and I'll tell you why. Let's start by looking at the definition of fake. Something that is not genuine, inauthentic, imitation, counterfeit, fraud, hoax, falsify, a sham, phony, knockoff, a ripoff, right? Those words define fake. And I want you to think of what comes up for you when you hear that word. And how does it make you feel if those words were attached to your identity? So if someone was saying this about you, if someone was saying that you're not genuine, you're a phony, you're a knockoff, you're a ripoff, you're a fraud, which is a big one for so many people. Big, big one. And it doesn't discriminate on your class, on your gender, on your race, on your status, or whatever the fuck else. It doesn't. So many people have that feeling of being a fraud, right? And whatever feelings you have internally when you hear those words, those definitions, this can start to give you a bit of a signal and an understanding of how your value system is set up, what your personal ethics actually are. Isn't it so interesting? Because this is the language that we're just told we need to use. Oh, just fake it. Just fake it and it will figure itself out, right? But is that actually working for most people? I think that it's something that works temporarily, but can it sustain you? Because if you get success from it and you have been training yourself to believe that you faked your way there, or you faked your way into that job, faked your way to that position, faked yourself your way into that relationship, or whatever the details might be, right? Will you ever truly feel satisfied with that? And are you giving yourself the credit that you actually deserve? Those are the kinds of questions I have, because I really do believe that there is a difference between going beyond your comfort zone and faking it. They're two very different things. And what we tend to call, oh, I'm just faking it, a lot of the time is you actually going beyond your comfort zone and stretching yourself. And you need to take the fucking credit for that, right? And in the same vein, you can just find yourself just faking it, you know, just kind of winging it and seeing what happens. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just inviting us all to just look at this a little bit closely, because it impacts you on an identity level more than you might realize. So I just wrote just a list of things, okay, in terms of what I believe the problem is with focusing on faking it. Number one, keeping up appearances and pretending will get exhausting. Not just psychologically, but it can also become physically draining. And you will also feel like more of an imposter if you lean too much into that concept of faking it. If you tell yourself that you are just faking it till you make it and it will figure itself out, it can actually get psychologically and physically exhausting. Because you're not looking at what's really making you uncomfortable. You're not looking at what it is you really need to do. You're not looking at the system that needs to be in place for you to be able to do that thing, for you to be able to feel sexually fulfilled in that relationship, like I did for such a long fucking time. Instead of actually thinking, okay, why am I feeling unable to show my partner some of the things that I do when I'm by myself, because I'm able to reach orgasm when I'm by myself. Why do I feel unable to show my partner some of those things instead of just going to faking it straight away? Is it because I'm uncomfortable in this situation and I'm faking it so that the sex can finish quicker? Because that was also a big one, right? So I do believe that it's really important to just take a closer look at this. And another thing that I wrote in terms of the problem with focusing on faking it is, underneath, you will still be the same person. Nothing is changing on an identity level if you make faking it a priority. if you make winging it a priority all the time, which I don't think there's anything wrong with. Sometimes I wing it sometimes to just kind of be like, oh, okay, I'm just going to see what happens here. I'll figure it out. But if that becomes my strategy and my approach every single fucking time, something needs to be looked at, because nothing is changing on an identity level. Because I'm focusing on faking it. I'm focusing on the surface instead of looking at what's actually, what's the system that's running beneath? Because clearly it needs to be changed in some way, or it needs to be defined or refined in some way. Something else that I added to this list on the problem with focusing on faking it is that it can ruin you financially. There are so many people that are living lives that they can't afford. So many people that are putting forward a social front that they don't even own. So if we're looking at this from a financial perspective, and there are many examples of this, whether it's people that are in the public eye, or maybe even people you know, or maybe even you. And again, this is not a moral failing. This is not an opportunity to shame yourself, but to just look. To just look. It can ruin you financially. It doesn't boost your confidence, because you might find that you only get good responses from people when you're not actually being yourself. When you're pretending to be someone else, you're pretending to be something else, you're pretending to be stronger than you actually are in that moment in time. So you're not getting the support that you truly need. How common is that? So common. And I, on a personal level, know that very well. So it's not allowing me to be vulnerable enough, even with the people closest to me, because I'm faking it, that I'm strong, I'm okay, I don't need any help, when behind the scenes, behind closed doors, I might be suffering. And then it just becomes a cycle that perpetuates. And especially this part about you only getting good responses from people when you're not being yourself. We really do underestimate just how painful that can be. When you're getting good feedback and validation, and you're being affirmed and you're being applauded and you're being celebrated, when you're not actually being yourself, when you're not being who you are. So on an identity level, you can start to convince yourself that this is the best way forward, even though you know it's not, because you know that's not actually you, you're performing. So it doesn't actually boost your self-esteem. It doesn't actually boost your self-confidence. It can make you a better performer, but often that's where it ends. And also, when you make faking it the default and the priority, and you make it just your mode of operation, it can feel like self-betrayal for the reasons that I've just mentioned. Because it's not allowing you to really cultivate and nourish your self-esteem. And it can also intensify the presence of your inner critic. So those fraudulent feelings again. And it can end up being a way to avoid the crucial self-work, the introspection, the getting uncomfortable, but for a good reason. Being a person of integrity, being rooted in your personal ethics, your values. And it might work externally, but internally, you might continue just feeling bad. And I write down these reasons, not just as something that is just randomly coming up in my mind, but I see this time and time and time and time again. At this point in my life and in my career, I have worked with thousands of people, and I've also experienced these things myself on a very personal level. But as soon as I could feel that this is not fucking right, I started thinking to myself, there must be an alternative way to approach this. Faking it till you make it can't possibly be the only fucking option. It can't be. But then it's really interesting, because you will have people in positions of quote unquote power, or people that have a certain level of status, maybe a level of status that you want. Maybe it's a mentor, maybe it's someone you look up to, maybe it's a teacher, maybe it's a colleague, maybe it's a partner, someone you trust. And they're telling you, yeah, just fake it till you make it. That's what I do. And it can seem like it's just a harmless saying. It's a harmless thing. That's why maybe someone listening to this is like, yeah, Africa, it's fucking harmless. People don't actually think that's what you have to do. But I'm speaking about this, as I have just said, as a person that works with people specifically on mindset and psychoeducation and human behavior and looking at language and understanding the power of the mind on so many levels, not just in an abstract way, but on a scientific level. This stuff does make a difference. It does make a difference, which is why I truly believe that the antidote to this, instead of faking it, number one is to correctly identify what is actually holding you back. What is stopping you from doing the thing that you want to do, from saying the thing that you want to say, from going to the places that you want to go to, whether it's physically or it's mentally, whatever it might be, right? Curiosity. You're going to hear me banging the fuck on about curiosity for as long as I live, because we need it. We need it. Not just now, we needed it fucking yesterday. To just get curious about your own behavior. And I'm not talking about ruminating and just stewing in it and sitting in it, but just to be like, huh, isn't that interesting? Why do I feel so scared to be in this place? Why do I know that I'm qualified to do this thing, but I just feel so terrified? And what do I actually need to do to get more comfortable? Instead of faking it, what else can I do? Instead, you can focus on becoming. And I don't care if that sounds cheesy or if that sounds too simple. Guess what? If it was that simple, we would all be doing it already. We would all be doing it already. The antidote to faking it till you make it is to focus on becoming. And I have seen this. I have seen that this actually works. Because when you focus on becoming, it actually requires you to change the way you think, which means that that's going to influence your behavior. Then you can behave in a different way. And if you have taken the first step of correctly identifying what is actually holding you back, what is making you want to fake it in the first place, get crystal clear on what that is, and then focus on becoming. Because as I just said, that requires you to change the way you think and feel. And becoming focuses on making changes on an identity level. And becoming has stronger foundations, much stronger foundations than the plaster, the band-aid of faking it till you make it and the rest will fucking figure itself out. Because you might reach success. And I'm not talking financial success or career success necessarily, but just you being successful in whatever that thing was that you wanted to do, right? For me, if I bring myself back to faking orgasms with my partner, my metric of success would be them thinking that they've done something fucking phenomenal, or me just being like, oh, okay, I've got away with it. But actually, I didn't get away with a fucking thing because I was the one who didn't get to experience the pleasure that I could have. And I also made the other person feel like they did something when they didn't. So I'm just perpetuating the same fucking cycle. So becoming has stronger foundations, and it means changing yourself on the inside, not simply trying to change other people's perception of you. That one is really important as well. And becoming means, although you will still feel discomfort, which is a natural part of any growth process, the actions you take will have the right intention behind them. So this is why when I work with people, and I think I mentioned this in one of my previous episodes, I can't remember which one right now, but I use something that is called the be, do, have model. And this speaks to everything that we're talking about so well. I might do a completely separate episode on that to really take you through the process. But to put it in simple terms, think about what it is that you want to have, right? Let's say a goal. What is the goal that you have in mind? Who do you need to become to make it happen? And it can be very simple. You don't have to think too wildly, too big, or anything like that. Who do you need to become? So I can use myself as an example, right? Because I'm writing a book right now at this moment in time, and I'm having to meet so many sides of myself, so much resistance. And then there'll be moments of fluidity, moments of flowing, then moments of questioning, then moments of heavy procrastination, right? So if my goal, the outcome that I desire is to write a book, it's not just about me saying, okay, I want to write a book and I'm going to sit down today and just start writing it. And then, yeah, the book is going to be done in a year or two, right? The system that I use needs to be very specific. And James Clear talks about this in his book, Atomic Habits. If you haven't listened to this book or you haven't read this book, I highly recommend that you do, because it's different from most self-help style books that I've read. It's, please get your hands on it or blow the dust off it and revisit it if you have to, because that's what I've needed to do. But he talks about micro habits, etc. But what I'm talking about here is something that is similar, but it's the be, do, have model, right? So if my goal, if the outcome that I want is to have a book, I need to look at that goal on an identity level. Everything needs to be looked at on an identity level. And I'm not talking about you being obsessed with your identity markers, like your race, your whatever the fuck. No, I'm talking about your belief system. I'm talking about your value system. I'm talking about your personal ethics. To me, those are the most important aspects of identity. But again, important is a very subjective thing. But in the context of this conversation, that's what I'm talking about. Think about who you want to become. So for me to have this book, for me to get the outcome that I want, who do I need to become? I need to become someone that is disciplined. I need to become someone that has a system. I need to become someone that is committed. I need to become an author. Before the book is even in my fucking hand, I need to become an author. I need to be very clear on those characteristics of that person that has the book. Because if I just, I'm just going to fake it till I make it. I'm just going to write in the same way that I write my articles and whatever I write on the internet. No. I need to be very clear on the characteristics that I need to embody, that I need to cultivate, that I need to harness, that I need to work on. So the be is really important. And then comes the do. Okay, so based on those characteristics that I've listed out or that you have listed out in relation to whatever your goal or the outcome that you want is, what do you need to do? So the do part is where the action is. That's where the behavior is. So the first part is really laying that foundation for the identity that you need to cultivate and what characteristics hold that identity piece together. Then the do is the actions, it's the behavior. How do I need to behave? Based on column A, how do I need to behave? So for me, if my outcome is the fucking book, I need to sit down for 20 minutes a day. I can commit to 20 minutes. There are 24 hours. I can commit to 20 minutes. And I will commit to 20 minutes a day. Even if it's just writing one sentence, I will fucking do it. I will do it. And based on the characteristics and the behavior, the have becomes automatic a lot of the time. And I think that's far more useful and more compelling than faking it. Because a lot of people will just tell you, fake it till you make it works. And, you know, coaches and motivational speakers will tell you, I just faked it till I made it and I just got here. No, they're fucking lying. They're lying. For the most part, people that you see, they have some kind of system. They had some kind of plan. They've laid some kind of foundation for identity work. But a lot of the time, they just want to sell you this easy two-step process. I did it overnight so you can. I just faked it and I ended up, no. And you don't even need to be aiming for something hugely shiny or anything like that. It could be as simple as needing to be confident in your meetings so that your voice doesn't fucking shake every time you're sharing. Who do I need to become to be someone that is confident in these meetings? Do I need to become the kind of person that practices speaking when I'm alone at home, even if it's just reading a page from a book, just so I can get comfortable with hearing my own voice? Because maybe the reason why my voice shakes so much is because it feels weird hearing myself speak out loud. Or maybe it's because I'm not used to speaking in front of people. So maybe if this is something that is really important for me and I want to end up getting a promotion, maybe I can start going to things like Toastmasters so I can practice my speaking. Maybe I can do a little bit of improv, right? Find virtual classes if I can't physically go there. So I need to become the kind of person that is comfortable with speaking. And then I will have that outcome of being a confident speaker in these meetings. Instead of, oh, just fake it. It's more physically taxing to even try and fucking fake it. That's the most frustrating thing about this message that people pump out. It takes more work to fake it than to walk through that temporary discomfort of being like, okay, what do I actually need to shift on an identity level? Who do I need to become? What characteristics do I not currently have that I need to cultivate so that I can have this conversation, so that I can apply for this position, so that when I apply for this position and I get it, I'm able to actually own my role, so that I can step into my success with confidence, so that I can enjoy sex with my partner, with my lovers, with myself, so that I can have boundaries with my mother because I'm not a child anymore, so that I can have better relationships with my siblings, so that I can speak to my landlord and tell him what's really wrong with this fucking place. Whatever your thing is, right? There are characteristics there that need to be cultivated so that you can be very clear on the behavior, on the intentional behavior that you need to put forward so that you can have your desired outcome. Does that make sense? I think it does. And I'll say it again. You know what? I think this is more fucking compelling than faking it. But I would love to know what you think. I would love to know what you think. Because that saying or that phrase or that way of operating never felt right. It never felt right for me. And you know what? It didn't just feel like semantics. It didn't just feel like, oh, this small thing that people just say. And I really realized this when I started working with people and the same shit would come up over and over again. People that are wildly successful who feel like frauds for various reasons, but this whole faking it thing always comes up as a part of that as well. People that are just physically drained because they feel like they're constantly performing that they're fine, performing that they're successful, performing that they're failing because maybe they feel some kind of shame about their success, having all of these shiny goals. And when the motivation wanes, they just throw everything on the back burner because they never took the time to become. We're never really told about becoming and the importance of that. And for a lot of us, it does happen organically, which is why I also say, give yourself credit for the things you have done. Because sometimes what you might label as faking it was actually you moving forward and saying, you know what, this is uncomfortable, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because you've probably just been organically becoming without even realizing and then giving fucking faking it the credit. No. We're not doing that. Mm-mm. No, but I would love to hear from you and to know what you think. I would love to know if this resonates. And if it doesn't, of course, you're not going to be getting in touch with me. Or you might be leaving a very angry comment on Apple Podcast reviews where you should actually leave a comment. I would love to know what your listening experience is. But please be nice. Please be nice. Have some manners, okay? But I would like to know what resonated. Does this feel like something that you finally have the language for, which is a very common thing that I hear from my clients and teams that I work with in relation to this. So I'm just very curious to know what's coming up for you. I really am. And I hope this helps. I hope that there are some practical things in here as well that you can actually use and integrate into your daily life. And maybe come back to this episode. If something didn't quite resonate or didn't make sense, just leave it. Just park it for a while. Come back to this episode in future. And yeah, oh, I love that I've spoken to you about this. And I really do dedicate this episode to my client, Jen, because she gave me the confirmation today that I needed to know that this was going to be the episode that I sit down and record. So Jen, I love you. Thank you so, so much. And we're doing it. No faking it. Becoming only. Okay? Do share this episode if you have enjoyed it. Share it on your social media. Take a screenshot. Tag me at Africa Brooke. I love knowing that you're listening, especially because you're all in different parts of the world. It's just such a humbling feeling to know that there are people of all generations, people of all identities that are listening to this, and it means the world. And when you share those moments with me, I do get a bit emotional. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. As always, thank you for your time and for your attention. Do share, leave a review, tell me what you think, tell me what you want to talk about in future. And I will see you and speak to you in the next episode.